And you just heard the first stanza of The Only Son from Heaven, because today is Rumination Tuesday on this January the 10th in the year of our Lord. And that means we're going to be taking a look at a hymn, and that's the one we're going to be looking at, The Only Son from Heaven. And with us is our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. What's the matter with your voice?
just need to clear it. That's all. I'm fine.
Oh, good. You know, today's a special day in Lutheranism and in Anglicanism, Roman Catholicism. I didn't realize it either, but it just so happens I'm preaching today here at the International Center at 10 o'clock. So we're going to cut out a little early and you'll hear the rest of this hymn. But today is in honor of Basil the Great, Gregory of Nazianzus, and Gregory of Nyssa.
Okay.
Do you know those guys?
I've heard of them.
Yes, I know you have.
Just did.
they're fathers of the church, and were quite involved in the Trinity, for example, for sure. I was reading about Basil the Great, or is it Basil the Great? I don't know which.
Basil.
Some people think he was a universalist because he talks about all those who are going to be saved. But others say he's only talking about the resurrection of the believers there, that all of them are going to be saved. So there's a little confusion as to which he was, but they have some great teachings. Remember, when the Lutheran confessions were written, what they tried to do is show that what they were saying was nothing new. It was taught by the church.
Right.
And so they would quote the church fathers, but not as the reason why we believe, because the reason why we believe what we believe is in the scripture.
It's in the scripture, sure.
But the Lutherans weren't the first one to talk about
that's
these
right.
things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important point. So there were some church fathers, like Origen, who really had things messed up in some areas.
Yes, he did.
Yes. So that's today, and we're going to be celebrating that, and the sermon is going to be dealing with a subject that they also had spoken of. But today, The Only Son from Heaven, it's an Epiphany hymn. Is it written by Martin Luther?
No, it isn't.
Oh, you already looked at it.
Absolutely.
You look every week now.
Every week.
Every week. Who's it? I was surprised who it is written by.
Elizabeth Krusiger.
A woman.
Right, sure.
Yes.
Absolutely. They can write good hymns.
Yes. When did she die?
1535.
Yeah, that's before Luther died.
Right, that's right.
How come I haven't heard of her?
Well, Tom,
could she be one of the nuns that became Lutheran or what?
Not that I know of.
No, I don't know. You know, I'm looking forward. Concordia Publishing House is supposed to be in the process, I know I talked to Henry Gehrke about this, of taking this hymnal that we have and going through each hymn, giving the background, the original language.
Providing like a handbook to the hymn.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, when's that supposed to come out, do you know?
I thought it would be out by now,
yeah.
But it's not, so they're still working on it. I have the handbook
To the Lutheran hymnal.
Yes.
I've got that too.
Yeah, and a lot of the hymns are the same, so that's really good. But you know what else I found?
What?
A concordance.
I've got a concordance too,
yes.
The Lutheran hymnal.
Yes.
Oh, that's really helpful.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're looking for, you know, a topic and...
That's right.
Or you're looking for, I really want to hit home on that particular word, you know.
Yes.
That's...
Now, I had a little problem this week because I don't know what to look under. But you know what this Sunday is coming up. It's Pro-Life Sunday.
Right. That's right.
I don't know hymns that we have for pro-life. I looked under baptism and things like that. But really, most of the baptism talk about the one we're baptizing right then and there, which we aren't.
I'm trying to think of the hymns I always choose for that.
Yeah.
I can't. They don't come to my mind right now.
Well, if you can think of it, let me know. I've already chosen four hymns and got pretty close to it, but I'm not going to have... It's Epiphany.
Yes.
And guess who it's about again?
John the Baptist.
Yes. Man.
Well, he was a cousin of Jesus.
Well, I guess so. He really
and
had
6 months older.
He has some real influence with the Holy Spirit. 8 weeks in a row, John.
Yeah, and we're not even Baptist.
That's why I call him John the Baptizer.
Right.
Yes. We better start with stanza one.
Okay. The only Son from heaven, foretold by ancient seers, by God the Father given, in human form appears. No sphere his light confining, no star so brightly shining, as he, our morning star.
So, once more, we have metaphor here, morning star. What does that mean astronomically?
The first star that you see in the morning.
Yes, and actually, it may not be a star. I've been told that...
Angels?
No, Venus.
Oh, Venus. I see.
Yeah, the planet Venus.
I could be wrong, but I seem to remember somebody saying that when they're talking about morning stars, they're actually talking about angels.
Oh, really?
Maybe that was another name for angels.
That could be, because remember, Jesus is the angel of the Lord.
Right.
Over 70 times
and
in the Bible.
And the captain of the heavenly host, too.
Yes. And what's the word we use?
Sabaoth.
Yeah. I said, you know you're Lutheran when they spell Sabbath wrong. But it's a different word.
Yes,
Sabaoth meaning heavenly host.
That is correct.
Now, aren't we sons of God?
Right.
Well, then how's he the only son?
The only begotten son.
It doesn't say that.
Well, it's understood.
Oh.
Every person should know that.
Well, what does it say?
Let's see.
The only son
from heaven.
From heaven.
Right. Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference.
Uh-huh.
I'm not from heaven. You're not from
that's
heaven.
That's right. You're right.
And so you are correct that elsewhere it's the only begotten. Again, another metaphor to indicate not so much that he was born of the Father. No. But he's of the same substance.
Yes.
Same essence.
Try to explain. Here's something for you to explain, oh great one. How do you explain eternally begotten? How do you explain that to people when they ask you, a layperson?
Yes.
Eternally begotten. How do you explain that?
There never was a time when Jesus was not begotten of the Father.
Okay.
Never was a time.
He was always eternally begotten.
See, are we eternal?
No, we're septernal.
No,
I think it's septernal.
Oh, okay. I
yeah, we have a beginning.
Semi-eternal, yes.
We have a beginning.
Just like the angels.
Exactly.
Yes, but no end.
Right.
So, he's the only son from heaven. And so you've got this view, son is again another metaphor. But remember, there's only two kinds of children in a family. I think I've asked you this before. There's
the children that are born into the family.
That's and begotten.
And children that are adopted.
Yes, exactly. Very good. Jesus is the only begotten from heaven.
We're adopted by baptism.
We're adopted. And then we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I was talking to the confirmands, and we had a lot of fun with them yesterday. One of the questions I asked, you know, where is heaven? And a number of them put their hands up in the air. And I said, that's the answer I wanted. And they all looked at me and said, oh, it's wrong? I said, yep. And I explained, the word heaven has four meanings in the Bible. It's first of all, in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. That isn't the spiritual heaven, that's the natural.
That's right.
Stars, etc. But then there's three spiritual heavens.
Yeah, Paul was taken up into the third heaven.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And so he had a glimpse. Whether that was the interim heaven, it had to be, because the other one hasn't come about yet, namely the judgment day heaven, when the bodies are restored.
New heaven and new earth.
Yeah. Well, that there wouldn't mean the spiritual one. I think that also means the temporal. in the sense this heaven and earth, which is falling apart.
It'll pass away.
It'll pass away, and the new one will come, which will be like in the Garden of Eden, where everything is perfect, everything works, there's no storms, there's no hurricanes, etc., etc. So, the only Son from heaven, foretold by ancient seers. Now, a child isn't going to understand what a seer is. What is a seer?
A prophet.
Yeah.
A prophet who foretells.
Yes.
Tells the future.
The ancient ones would be, like Moses, would be talking about the coming one. And in human form appears. Somebody asked, was Jesus a human being from before the foundation of the world?
No.
No.
He took on human flesh.
That's right.
When he was conceived.
That's the incarnation, right.
But he did appear in the Old Testament. We call him the pre-incarnate Christ.
Yes, prior to his incarnation.
Right. He did appear a number of times.
Yes. My favorite one is on Mount Sinai at the burning bush.
Burning bush.
It calls him the angel of the Lord, and he says, my name is Yahweh.
Yeah, and then there was a time when he appeared to Abraham.
Oh, there were 60 plus times. And so when you start looking for them, you find them all over the place.
Oh, that's right.
In fact, in my text today and about Basil and all these other individuals, what's the interesting thing about verse 1? I'm talking about Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. What teaching do you have there? It's the mystery of the...
Incarnation.
Trinity.
Of the Trinity?
All three are there.
Okay. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
Yes. Behold my servant.
Right.
That's Jesus.
Yeah, of course, that's talking about the baptism.
Whom I behold, and
right.
I put my spirit upon him. Yes.
Right. The baptism, you see all three persons, right? That's what that is prophesying.
Isn't that interesting? For those who can't imagine, how can a Jew read that and not realize we're talking about three people? Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, and I put my spirit upon him. Now, what does that mean if it doesn't mean three persons, one God? And the doctrine of the Trinity is found throughout the scripture. I'll read stanza 2. O time of God appointed, O bright and holy morn, he comes the King anointed, the Christ the Virgin born. Grim death to vanquish for us, to open heaven before us and bring us life again. Now, there's a couple of things here. He comes the King anointed.
The Christ.
Which is the next word.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So the anointed
Christ
one.
Christ is the anointed one.
And what's the Hebrew?
Yeshua, Jesus' name. Let's see, the Hebrew's name. Oh, a Messiah.
Yes.
Messiah, of course.
Yes. Messiah and Christ are the Hebrew and Greek translations, and they both mean the anointed
That's
one.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And once more, you're getting back to his baptism, where he was anointed. The Christ, the virgin born, grim death to vanquish for us. Now, if we die, how can you say that death is vanquished?
If we die, death is, well, the sting of death is taken away, and death becomes the gate of heaven for us.
Yes.
It's reduced to a shadow.
Well, look at the adjective before the word death.
Grim.
Yeah.
Grim death.
The grim death is vanquished.
It's not the end.
No. We may have a physical death, but the grim death is, what would be a synonym for grim?
Grisly.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible. Bad consequences. Mm-hmm. This sort of thing. That's vanquished to open heaven before us. Sunday sermon, I said to the people, here's my question. Nobody put their hand up. You ready?
Do they really raise their hands when you're preaching?
Oh, yeah.
They really do.
No.
You stop and you say, okay, raise your hands. You really do that?
No. The way I said it, put your hand up if you believe that you have died to sin. And nobody put their hand
nobody
up.
Nobody did.
No.
Well, yeah, we did. Sure.
Well, sure. In fact, we just read in the epistle.
Right, exactly.
That we're buried with Christ in baptism.
Romans 6.
And we die to sin.
Right.
Says that.
And but you know, Paul, when he writes that, is explaining.
Yes.
He's explaining that.
I know.
He's explaining to people that don't understand or don't realize that. It's very clear that that's what he's doing. So,
well, I used two analogies to explain why they were confused and why they shouldn't be. The first one is if somebody's an alcoholic and you ask him, have you died to that, and he hasn't stopped drinking, he'll say no. So for a lot of people, to die to sin means you stop sinning.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Okay.
No.
Then here's the other analogy. Let's say you have incurable cancer.
Uh-huh.
How will you die to that? You'll actually die, and that's the only way you're free from.
Right.
And I said, that's what God is talking about. Not that you stop from sinning, but you're free from sin.
No longer has dominion over you.
Exactly. And and that's called forgiveness.
Right.
And so that was a lot of fun. I even got a better question for this week, but I'm not going to mention it because people put their hand up. Well, I got the confirmands. I'll ask them a question, and they'll answer.
Do people ever say, oh, here's this Pastor Baker again. He's asking
when
us
I
to
had my
treating us like children.
No. When I had my doctoral orals, one of the professors was a member of mine, Professor Manteuffel.
Oh, huh.
And he had just come in, you know, because any professor can come in.
Sure.
And I explained what I did in these questions. And they asked Dr. Manteuffel, they say, when he does that, like in the Bible study, do people get upset? And Dr. Manteuffel said, surprisingly, they don't.
He's a good guy.
Oh, he's
Professor
wonderful.
Manteuffel.
If you want to know what real Lutheranism is from a traditional point of view.
Yes, that's right.
That's
yeah,
the guy
he's
that
got it
I
down.
Listen to. He's
no
just
kidding.
Got it down.
His wife's a good organist, too.
Yeah, well, she was our organist.
Yeah.
Yes, and still is at St. James in University City. Stanza 3.
O Lord, our hearts awaken to know and love you more. In faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore, that we, through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there.
Okay, if I'm listening to you and I'm a child, I would ask you to explain each glimpse of heaven proving.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that's a kind of tough one. I don't know how I'd explain that either.
Yeah.
How would you explain it? That we through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving.
How many times, do you notice, I said this to the congregation Sunday, the older I get, the more times I find myself just saying, thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah, boy, I do that a lot, too.
Well,
I do that
that's
a lot.
What you, that's what this means.
I see, uh-huh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah,
because you see how he has answered your prayer. You see how he's protected you, provided for you.
Excellent.
Amazingly.
Excellent.
That's what that means.
I was on 270, and because of the snow, I decided to use the truck we own. It's four-wheel drive and such. And I'm going down 270. I'm only going 45 miles an hour because it was really kind of icy and such. And I normally watch this, but I didn't see it. You know, part of 270, underneath, there's a road. And so those are the slippery parts.
Yes.
And I'm driving along at 45, and all of a sudden, the rear end of the truck goes sideways.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going sideways down my lane, and I look to the left, and there's an 18-wheeler 5 inches away. And then all of a sudden, the truck comes back.
Oh.
And guess what my first words
Thank
are?
Thank you, Jesus.
Exactly. And see, this is what I think it means. Each glimpse of heaven proving.
You got a glimpse of heaven right there, right?
I sure did.
But your life passing before you.
Well, it was a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Uh-huh. And you just said it, how he protects us.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're totally out of control.
Yeah.
And one of the things I like watching on YouTube... when I type up what I want to see, I put cars and ice, and then they have hours of cars crashing because of ice.
Oh, wow.
And the reason I love watching them is because 80% of the time there's a crash, it's the fault of the driver because he's going too fast or he's moving around or this kind of thing. There are 20% of them that he...
There's no way they could.
No, no. For example, there was this truck with a bunch of wood on it, and it was just turning left, and it fell over on a car.
Oh, well.
Yeah. So this is impossible to stop that.
No, huh?
But I think new car drivers, kids, should watch those because, like, the worst one are motorcycles who go between the cars.
Oh, I know. Goodness.
And one guy was going down the highway. And the guy opened his door and he smashed.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh because I'm sure.
No,
it was
no. Well, it
tragic.
Had to be. Well, why are you opening your door in the middle of the highway?
Oh, I know.
Oh, it was something. But and so I learned techniques of what to watch for and this sort of thing.
Yeah, you know, you and I both were in the Detroit area in our high school years.
Oh, boy.
And boy, you learn how to drive in ice and snow, that's for sure.
Although, the one thing I loved about Detroit, there was a street called Gratiot.
Yes. We lived right off of Gratiot.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, there was a White Castle near 15 there.
15 mile in Gratiot, yes.
But the reason I loved it, the lights were synchronized.
Yes.
And I don't know why they don't do it. If I was going to be mayor of St. Louis, that's the only promise I would make. Once you start, your lights are synchronized. I would get elected.
Probably, he'd get elected. No kidding.
Absolutely.
Drive all the way from Port Huron to Detroit.
Oh, man. All right. Final stanza, please.
O Father, here before you, with God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus, we adore you, O pride of heavenly host. Before you mortals lowly cry, holy, 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 O blessed Trinity. And that's, of course, a doxological verse.
Yes.
We stand for that one.
But you read, O pride of what? You said...
What did I see?
O pride of angel...
O pride of angel host.
Yeah.
He is.
You didn't say host, you said heavenlies.
Did I say heavenly host?
Yes.
O pride of angel host.
That's right.
It's the Sabaoth we talked about.
Sabaoth. Yeah.
The heavenly host.
The right. And you are correct. It is a doxological, Trinitarian, and it has holy, holy, holy. Where is that from?
That's from, Isaiah.
Yeah, Isaiah, you know, 6.
Isaiah is thrice holy.
Yeah.
Thrice holy.
Why three holies? Because
of the Trinity.
Three holies. So... What are you going to be preaching on this Sunday in light of John the Baptist for the 8th time?
I don't know. I haven't.
Well, it is pro-life.
Yeah.
And there are some materials the Synod, Missouri Synod, has sent us. Could use some of that. But, none of the readings fit for pro-life.
Uh-huh.
The regular readings.
Right.
And
you're going to preach on a separate... text?
No, I never.
You never do that. I always try to limit myself to the three.
That's right.
The three lessons.
The three.
And if none of them jump out at me, I might look at the appointed psalm or even the intro it for the day.
That's a good point. I should look at the psalm. I haven't looked at the psalm yet.
We shouldn't ignore the psalms. I don't preach on the psalms as much as I should, I suppose.
Right. A lot of the hymns are based on the psalms.
That's right.
Isn't a mighty fortress?
Psalm 46.
Yep, exactly. And then I was looking at the Lord is my shepherd.
That's 23.
Yeah.
Psalm 23.
Boy, you're pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I finally woke up this morning.
All right. Then what's Psalm 115, verse 108?
No.
Oh, I got to preach.
You better get going.
Boy, I forgot all about that. And listen what's on. I was supposed to play the hymn again. All right. I'm going down to preach. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, Insight Wednesday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.